You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where you look ahead to Friday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Ollie Pimlott, Ross Briley and Tom Morley in the studio. A good day of racing to look forward to as well. It's the first of two very good days at Sandown and culminating in the Eclipse on Saturday, of course. We've also got Doncaster and Newton Abbott alongside that in the afternoon. Beverley, Haydock and Chelmsford City in the evening, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Chris Pimlott. Hi, Pimmy.
Oh, very good afternoon to you, Mark. Yeah, I'm in top form. Thank you very much. Top form. Obviously, you know, we've just had the Irish Derby. We've got lots to look forward to with the Eclipse this weekend. The whole flat season now is really at its peak, isn't it? And again, we've just got meeting after meeting after meeting. You know, we've got an awful lot of racing to take in at this moment in time. But it's all good stuff. And it sees us through the afternoon and through to when the light fades.
Yeah. Six meetings a day running through until
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, 9:10, that kind of time. Yeah, great time for the racing enthusiast. And as you mentioned, we've got the Eclipse coming up on Saturday, Pimmy. We've got the final declarations through. No Jack Hobbs in the lineup. They were hoping for a bit of rain for him, so John Gosden's pulled him out. And Cliffs of Moher is the star attraction, really. Top of the market at 7-4. Barney Roy 3-1. Eminent 4-1. Ulysses 15-2. 8-1 Decorated Knight. Lightning Spear 20-1. It's 50-1 Desert Encounter and Salouen. And 66-1 for Taj Mahal, who is the outsider of the field. Younger horses, 3-year-olds taking on the older horses here, Pimmy. And some of the best around at a mile. Some of them at a mile and a half as well. Meeting at a mile and a quarter. Interesting renewal this time around.
Smasher.
Yeah, Cliffs of Moher second in the Derby. Obviously drops in trip here.
Yeah.
He's been well backed on the back of that. Aidan O'Brien stating after the Epsom Derby that he would be going this route, going to the Eclipse next. I think we went 7-1 on the back of the Derby. He's now 7-4 at the top of the market. So he's been well backed.
He's well supported. Again, I can definitely see that the dropping back in trip's going to suit him. You know, he just got worried out of it, I think, close home in the Derby by his stable companion, who again has gone on to run a tremendous race and defeat in the Irish Derby, and all, at the same time picking up a career-changing injury as well. So, you know, you more likely could upgrade Wings of Eagle's performance, knowing what he suffered during the race. So, Cliffs of Moher certainly has the form in the book that takes... all the beating, to be fair. But you've got Imminent, who was behind on that occasion. You think that, again, dropping back in trip for him could help. Sylvester D'Souza takes the mount on Saturday afternoon. You've obviously got Barney Roy, who came good at Royal Ascot in the St. James's Palace Stakes. That was a really classy performance for him. And again, you know, things didn't possibly go to plan either there, because when he jumped out the starting stalls, the saddle seemed to slip. And to be fair to James Doyle, he did a remarkable job to get the combination intact and in one piece throughout the race. So slight concerned over that. But again, very, very classy performance by Barney Roy. And again, I don't think stepping up the two furlongs will hinder him either. So he's certainly a player. And also, I thought Decorated Knight was a worthy challenger as well, because he ran a blinder in defeat over a mile and two behind Highland Reel. And again, that form stands the closest scrutiny for me. So a very, very high-class renewal of the Eclipse for me. I can understand where they're coming from with your favourite Cliffs of Moher. Nine of them have been declared. Obviously, Taj Mahal's the outsider from the O'Brien yard. So whether he's going to be the pacemaker, it's good to see Padre Beggy back riding. I think he's suspended for a day or two this week. That's why we haven't seen him riding too much this last few days.
Right, okay.
But he's back in action at Sandown at the weekend. So I would imagine that that will be there for a pacemaking exercise. And obviously Ulysses, who I thought slightly disappointed behind Hiram Reel the other day. But again, if you can forgive him a slight disappointing run there, then he comes into the equation as well. So it's to look forward to. It's to savour. And if I was going to have a little bet, And I'm going to go each way. I'm going to go decorated knight each way.
Yeah, 8-1 in the market at the moment. Decorated knight for trainer Roger Charlton, who won the Eclipse a few years ago with Al-Kazim back in 2013. He's a five-year-old, and he's proven at this level and at this trip. But yeah, he's not that kind of horse that people latch onto, is he? The one would be with the sexier three-year-olds, and kind of gets overlooked in the market.
That's what you say. He's not sexy for whatever reason, Decorated Knight, but he's a high-profile horse in his own right. Roger Charlton love him as a trainer, and Olivier Pellier will not lack nothing from the saddle there either. So plenty of ticks in boxes, and if you're looking for a bit of value to take the fav on, I think he represents it.
Okay. Really good renewal of the Eclipse to come up on Saturday afternoon. You'll hear all of the action from there on William Hill Racing Radio as well, of course. And we'll move on to that shortly. But we've got matters closer to hand to concentrate on. A couple of races at Sandown on Friday we're going to take a look at. We're going to look at some of the action elsewhere as well. A race at Doncaster and a race at Haydock. And we'll get the thoughts of Mr. Pimlott on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, let's get stuck into Friday's action then. We're going to start with the action at Sandown. A couple of listed races we've mentioned to look at there. The first of them is the 220, which is the Dragon Stakes, a listed event over 5 furlongs. This race is for the two-year-olds, and we got some interesting two-year-olds in there, Pimmy. Who has caught your eye for this 220?
Yeah, I thought it was a real competitive listed race here. I thought one or two of them came into the equation very nicely. I thought Connery was interesting when he beat Aquadabra at Bath over 5 furlongs last time out. I thought that form could travel a little bit better this time. I thought Russell was obviously very interesting. Tawaffage is interesting as well. He was a runner-up last time out at Lingfield behind 1 minute, but prior to that had been a readied winner. And the other one is Rebel Assault from the Mark Johnson yard, who, again, got the better of Tonka Kilidi. I think that's how you pronounce it, at Windsor last time out. And again, it's a competitive race. Mark Johnson won it last year with The Last Lion. He went on to win the Middle Park, so it was a very good stepping stone for him. Whether we've got anything quite of that class tomorrow afternoon remains to be seen. But I'm going to take a chance with the horse that ran really well in defeat at Ascot in the Windsor Castle Stakes, and it's in the shape of Russell.
Russell, then the selection for Pimmy there in that 220 at Sandown. Looking at the next of the listed races at Sandown, the 325, a mile and a quarter in front of them for this one. It's for the three-year-olds and older, and we've got a field of 7 set to go to post here. Pimmy, you've got the likes of Arad, who we know plenty about, 6-year-old now, as part of the older brigade. You've got a few three-year-olds in there as well, Frankus, Isomer and Jake Sill. What do you make of the race, Pimmy?
I thought it was very competitive, and I thought Arad, who won it last year, can actually put back-to-back wins in the race. He ran really well, I thought, behind Snow Noah. I think that's how you pronounce it, at Ascot last time out. He's 5th of the 16. That was him having his debut run. I think there could be a little bit more to come from him this time around. As I say, he won the race last year, and I think he's a serious player again tomorrow afternoon. I thought of the dangers. I thought Frankus could run a big race from the Mark Johnson yard. This horse, I thought, ran far better than his finishing position suggested when he was behind stable companion Permian at Ascot. Again, this shows to be a big drop in grade from him, and obviously drops back in trip from a mile and a half to a mile and a quarter. He could well run a better race than his form suggests, I think, tomorrow afternoon, Frankus. And the other one that could be interesting is the Ryan Moore-ridden Spark Plug, who, again, ran really well behind Arabian Hope at York. That was back in June. I think, again, he could come on for that outing, and there could be a little bit more to come from him. So, competitive. Frankus is interesting, definitely, if you can forgive that run and also put into context that this is easier tomorrow afternoon. Spark Plug, as I say, has been in reasonable form, but I'm going to think that Arad can win it back-to-back years.
Arad to win the race for a second year in succession then. Onto the next race we look at, which is the 335 at Doncaster. This is a Class 3 classified event over 7 furlongs. A field of 14 set to go to post for this one, Pimmy. And I thought this was relatively tricky to solve, so cool. Help us out.
Yeah, relatively tricky. That's a little mild way to put it, because this is so, so tricky, so trappy. These horses are so close together with their official ratings. You know, it gives them, you could more likely run it 10 times and get 10 different results, to be perfectly honest. None of them particularly coming into the race on the back of good runs. Quidia, I think that's how you pronounce it, the Michael Appleby runner. Raymond Dawson.
Kayada,
is it?
Yeah.
Again, Michael Raymond Dawson, fairly inexperienced, but I think he rode this horse when it won at Redcar last time out. A little bit more defined tomorrow in this competitive race, but at least he comes into the back of the race, into the race on the back of a confidence boosting success.
Yeah.
Many of the others haven't done that. I think the other one that stands out significantly is Sudden Lover. Last saw that horse 21 days ago, and again, to be fair, he ran really well in defeat at Sun Lover there. That was behind Be Cool at York in a 7 furlong handicap. It was a very, very competitive handicap. And I didn't think things particularly panned out for him. A little bit free early doors. More than likely, that was his debut run of the season. He might well settle after that run. And if he settles into a rhythm tomorrow afternoon, I think he'll be the one they've all got to beat. Sun Lover.
Sun Lover then, the pick for Pibby. Things going well for the Roger Varian Yard this last week or so as well. He's had a couple of winners over in Ireland, and he's had plenty of winners on these shows as well. So,
but again, you know, he's got an awful lot of firepower. He should be getting some winners in, that is for sure. But, you know, again, I think he's a very, very capable trainer.
Yeah. Fair enough. Sun Lover, the selection for Pimmy then in the 3:35 at Doncaster. And the final race we look at is the 7:20 at Haydock Park. And this is a Class 3 handicap over just short of a mile. We've got 8 of them set to go to post for this one, Pimmy. And a few of them of interest. We'll start with Lincoln Rocks, if we may, though. Arrives here in winning form, having scored at Musselburgh last time over a mile. Was a big price that day, but he's going to be much shorter in the betting on Friday evening, I imagine.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's a very competitive horse. He's a 4-year-old. He's a course and distance winner in the past, which is always a Brucey bonus. And David O'Meara keeps piling the winners in. Again, same token of him. He's got lots and lots of horses. He should be having plenty of success, but he definitely is having plenty at the moment. Danny Tudhope even, riding really well at the moment. Plenty of winners from outside the O'Meara camp. So he's got confidence on his side too. And it certainly is a major player tomorrow night, Linton Rocks. And as I say, I think that win last time out was certainly a bolter's his confidence. Of the others, I think Calder Prince could be a player.
Yeah.
He finished runner-up last time out. I think what you take into the equation here regarding Calder Prince, Tom Dascombe, Richard Kingscote, great strike rate at Haydock. Love to have winners there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he certainly could well be a player. He was a runner-up here last time out behind Mythical Madness. But again, comes into the equation simply because of the form of the yard. And also Ian Williams, he can do no wrong at this moment in time. Possibly Accurate's got a little bit to find, having disappointed at Chelmsford last time out. But again, forgive him that, and you could try and find a case for him. But certainly you'd have to forgive a very disappointing run last time out. But as I say, the yard is in cracking form at this moment in time. And of the others, I thought Theodorico, is that how you pronounce it?
Theodorico, yeah.
Theodorico, I think the colours of the Mike and Eileen Newbold. Dougie Costello taking them out there. Again, this one ran well enough in defeat at Redcar last time out. Stepping up in trip ever so slightly tomorrow. And again, he could be a player at a bit bigger price. The dead eight, if they stand the ground. If I'm looking for a win selection, it was in the shape of Lincoln Rocks. If you're looking for a little bit of value, Theodorico each way.
Okay. Which would you rather play out of the two?
For a win bet,
yeah.
Lincoln Rocks. But if you want a bit of value and you want to try a little bit each way with a dead eight standing the ground as we record this,
yeah,
Thursday afternoon,
yeah,
at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon with another 9 hours to go on William Hill Racing Radio till that 9 o'clock at Bellystown or somewhere. But that's by the by. Don't worry about me. You, when you're sat in the pub having a nice chilled beer, relaxing.
I'll think about you. I'll listen in.
I was going to say, ring me up on the phone.
Yeah, well, yeah. From the pub.
Live from the pub. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind doing a little programme from the pub one night. You know what I mean? I thought it'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
We might trial it.
Yeah, we could do it. Yeah, see, we'd obviously have to be careful who we have in the studio. You wouldn't want some of those lads who like a tipple, would you? You know what I mean? You'd like some of us more team-minded folk.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be interesting. But yeah, I think it would work that. Studio at williamhill.co.uk would go to the pub at William Hill. chrispillmont.co.uk.
Yeah, be all right, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And we cross live to Chris Pillmont now, who's had a bottle of Sancerre, but
he's fine.
He's going to talk us through this next race.
Yeah, and again, sometimes that system works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Lincoln Rock's on the main pick there in that 720. We digress slightly there. But David O'Mara has a good record in the race as well. He won it in 2015 with Birdman, 2014 with Balducci, and Montraz in 2013. So he had a real hot streak a few years ago.
All right. Yeah, he did. Yeah. But again, interesting, looking at it there, the North has done fantastically well. Tim Easterby, poor old Dandy Nichols no longer with us, Mark Johnson. So it's definitely gone northbound. And if you're looking at that, then you've got Les Eyre, David O'Meara, David Lochnan, Tom Dasken and Richard Fye. So we've got about six of the eight bases covered if you're looking on that northern slant of winning the race.
the famous north-south divide.
Exactly.
Good stuff, Pibby. Let's have a little bit of a summary before you go. Let's confirm these selections then for Friday, if you'll spin us through them.
Yeah, and the Dragon Stakes at 2:20 at Sandown. The selection is Roussel. In the Gala Stakes at 3:25, we're going for last year's winner, Arad. And then things get a little bit more complicated as we move to Doncaster for their classified stakes. And the selection there is Sun Lover. And finally, back to Lancashire. Oh, Lancashire, hop, hop, pot. In the handicap at 7:20, the selection is Lincoln Rocks.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Pimmy, once more. Good
luck. And mine. Oh, and mine, lovely.
Enjoy on Friday, Pimmy.
Can't wait.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all here at William Hill, of course. On William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Ollie Pimlott, Ross Briley and Tom Morley in the studio. Sandown, Doncaster and Newton Abbott in the afternoon, and Beverley, Haydock and Chelmsford in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.